Sandberg, the youngest person at the meeting, sent out to get some food. He came back with sushi and light beer and passed both around the conference table. Gulberg felt a thrill of nostalgia. This was just the way it was in his day, when some operation went into a critical phase and they had to work around the clock. The difference, he observed, was that in his day nobody would have come up with a wild idea of ordering raw fish. He wished Sandberg had ordered Swedish meatballs with mashed potatoes and lingonberries. On the other hand, he wasn't really hungry, so he pushed the sushi aside. He ate a piece of bread and drank some mineral water. They continued the discussion over their meal. They had to decide what to do. The situation was urgent.
"I never knew Zalichenko," Vardenshire said. "What was he like?"
"Much as he is today, I assume," Goldberg said. "Phenomenally intelligent, with a damn near photographic memory. But in my opinion, he's a pig, and not quite right in the head."
"Jonas, you talked to him yesterday. What's your take?" Vardenshire said. Sandberg put down his chopsticks. "He's got us over a barrel. I've already told you about his ultimatum. Either we make the whole thing disappear, or he cracks the section wide open."
"How the hell do we make something disappear that's been plastered all over the media?" Nystrom said.
"It's not a question of what we can or can't do. It's a question of his need to control us," Gulberg said.
"Would he, in your opinion, talk to the press?" Vardenshire said.
Gulberg hesitated.
"It's almost impossible to answer that question. Zalichenko doesn't make empty threats, and he's going to do what's best for him. In that respect, he is predictable. If it benefits him to talk to the media, if he thought he could get an amnesty or a reduced sentence, then he'd do it. Or if he felt betrayed and wanted to get even.
Regardless of the consequences?"
"Especially regardless of the consequences. For him, the point is to be seen as tougher than all of us."
"If Zalichenko were to talk, it's not certain that anyone would believe him. And to prove anything, they'd have to get a hold of our archives."
"Do you want to take the chance? Let's say Zalichenko talks. Who's going to talk next? What do we do if Bjork signs an affidavit confirming his story? And Clinton, sitting at his dialysis machine, what would happen if he turned religious and felt bitter about everything and everyone? What if he wanted to make a confession? Believe me, if anyone starts talking, it's the end of the section."
"So, what should we do?"
Silence settled over the table. It was Gulberg who spoke first.
"There are several parts to this problem. First of all, we can agree on what the consequences would be if Zalichenko talked. The entire legal system would come crashing down on our heads. We would be demolished. My guess is that several employees of the section would go to prison."
"Our activity is completely legal. We're actually working under the auspices of the government."
"Spare me the bullshit," Gulberg said. "You know as well as I do that a loosely formulated document that was written in the mid-60s isn't worth a damn today. I don't think any one of us could even imagine what would happen if Zalichenko talked."
Silence descended once again.
"So our starting point has to be to persuade Zalichenko to keep his mouth shut," Nystrom said at last.
"And to persuade him to keep his mouth shut, we have to be able to offer him something substantial. The problem is that he's unpredictable. He would burn us out of sheer malice. We have to think about how we can keep him in check."
"And what about his demand," Sandberg said, "that we make the whole thing disappear and put Salander back in an asylum?"
"Salander we can handle. It's Zalichenko who's the problem. But that leads us to the second part, damage control. Teleborian's report from 1991 has been leaked, and it's potentially as serious a threat as Zalichenko."
Nystrom cleared his throat.
"As soon as we realized that the report was out, and in the hands of the police, I took certain measures. I went through Ferelius, our lawyer in SIS, and he got a hold of the Prosecutor General. The PG ordered the report confiscated from the police. It's not to be disseminated or copied."
"How much does the PG know?"
Gulberg said.
"Not a thing. He's acting on an official request from SIS. It's classified material, and the PG has no alternative."